is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. That's not Lance Zierlein up there on NFL Network.
That's not him? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure that's not Lance Zierlein.
Maybe he meant he was on their online product.
That could well be. Well, he did. What did he say? Why is it
offensive line day, so wow. He should be pretty happy.
Oh, my God. He can look at their hips and their feet and their
Well, he can really look
shorts.
At everything.
He can look at their lower body, their butts. He loves that. That's not a Lance Zierlein. That's a Daniel Jeremiah. Disgusted with the NFL Network right now. Let's get Jared in here. He wants to talk about baseball. What do you say, Jared?
What's up, man? Shortest wait time in the biz.
You see?
That's a
every
lie.
Every time.
Stop it, Jared. That's a lie.
You're talking about MLB, how they you know, try to market their product and stuff. And I've been saying this for years. If you watch the NFL, the NBA, especially during playoff time, they are constantly letting you know, showing graphics of when the next game's going to be played and what channel it's on. Like Major League Baseball, when it comes to playoff time, first off, they're putting their games on, like the playoff game, like with the Astros and Red Sox last year. Game one was like at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and game two was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they're not even letting you know what channel it is. It's like, is it TBS? Is it Fox? Is it ESPN? Mm-hmm. Is it MLB Network? Like, they do a horrible job at marketing, and I've been saying that for years. And it's so different from the other major two because they let you know, and they also put them on in prime times. It's not like they're playing a game when everybody's at work. And I just think they could do a better job at marketing. You could put, you know, two games on at one time. I understand that they want to do one, you know, to showcase that game. But afternoon games when people are at work, playoff games are the worst. So I just wanted to call and agree with you guys on that and see what your take was.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's you don't know where the game. And then, the Astros always get the afternoon game. We know that. But it has been going on forever. You know. Of course, it is not their biggest market. But now, after winning, I would imagine, the Astros are getting a lot of nationally televised games, which they deserve. And they probably get a little bit more respect in the playoffs this year.
They probably do, but they're still, I mean, the likelihood is the two AL East teams that make the playoffs are still Boston and New York.
Yeah.
And then it's Cleveland and Houston. I mean, that'd be the exact same four that made it last year, and those are the four I expect to be back. Of course Houston's going to get third best status out of those four.
And then, yeah, if the Cubs are in it or the Dodgers are in it too, and then you got three games going on one day.
Yeah, we were talking, you mentioned that everybody's playing on opening day. There's 15 games on Thursday, opening day. And the Astros have a four-game series. That seems logical, right? Mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You play a baseball game every single Friday of the entire regular season.
Yes.
Well, not this year. Six games, 12 teams that open on Thursday have Friday off.
You never get Friday off.
They play Thursday.
There's only 2 days
Friday
off in baseball.
Off,
Monday
no travel,
and Thursday.
And then they finish off the three-game series Saturday and Sunday.
That's so dumb.
Well, I've never seen that before.
Well, that's a rain thing.
You get tired.
Yeah, no, you get tired after one day.
No, that's a rainout thing, though, because those of those are outdoor stadiums, am I right? And probably in the Northeast.
You got Pittsburgh at Detroit is in that group.
Yep.
Mets are in that group. Home games, the Mets in that group.
Yep.
Baltimore.
Yep.
Toronto plays Friday both days. They have a stadium where you can play indoors, right?
They're in that?
Yeah. You could be on to something, John. So you're expecting rain on opening
day? No, but that's what they do. A lot of times you'll have opening day. Usually it's Monday.
But it's on a Monday.
Monday.
But yes, then I thought it was silly. Cincinnati opens on Monday, and then they have
Tuesday
off.
Right. No, right.
But never on a Friday. But they've also never started the season midweek.
And oh, by the way, why not? So you make up the day, you make up that game the next day, or the next time they play. And oh, by the way, now, I guess the Rangers are the Astros' biggest rival, I guess. But if you're baseball, put the biggest game up, okay? Who's the Rangers' opening day starter?
I'll let you know.
I mean, okay, so it's Verlander and who? Who cares? And I mean, that's
who's the Rangers? I mean, Adrian Beltre, maybe he's a Hall of Famer. He's a big guy, big name, but he doesn't really care any national notoriety from a marketing standpoint. Who's their so on the big graphic they build, who's the Ranger they're putting on it? Him?
Yeah, probably.
Whereas it could be Judge on one side and Altuve on the other, or Correa on one side and Kershaw on the other.
Oh, and all the highlights that you could show from the series. And, I mean, that's unbelievable. It's just, I said for years, though, baseball has been the worst. Well, how they don't own, like, college football owns the Labor Day weekend, right? NBA owns Christmas.
Well, you'll like it even less when opening day rolls around. You know, the first game of the day is the Cubs game. Cubs are at the Jeters, because Jeter will probably be on the other side of that Marlins graphic.
No, he absolutely will.
And then the Astros and Rangers have the mid-afternoon game. The game that they have four games ESPN that day, the game they'll be billing the most will be a team coming off of an awful season playing the Dodgers. It'll be Bumgarner versus Kershaw, opening day, Giants and Dodgers. It is a great rivalry.
That's
the game they're going to shove down your throats for the days leading up to opening day.
But it is Bumgarner, too.
Yeah.
Even though they had an awful season, it is Bumgarner. He's huge. That at least is, and it's the Giants and Dodgers. Someone could die. Right? and if somebody dies on opening day, that's a big marketing tool. Huge marketing tool. So no. That at least I can see somewhat. All right, Lance is on NFL.com. He's not on the network NFL TV. He's on NFL.com. I saw his face.
Glasses?
He was not, he went,
I thought the analytical on air Zerline was a glasses wearer.
Yeah, he really is. I think he looks smarter, but I don't, you know, do you think he went for the smart look? That's what he was going for?
No, I think he went for, I need to see look.
You think it was more
it was
practical? You think
he's not Russell Westbrook wearing glasses with no lenses.
You think Lance's glasses have lenses? I'm not sure about it. They might've broken. Are you sure?
Not sure.
That he didn't leave him on top of the car and then drive off?
I'm not even listening to you anymore. Someone's running 40 yards.
8-12.
Place kickers of all people.
No, that's not a place kicker.
Yes, it is. What do you think
that's
PK stands for?
That's not a place
for?
Kicker.
What does PK stand for?
You don't do 40-yard dashes.
No, because
with place
I saw Miami
kickers.
Kicker Michael Badgley run, and now some guy named Trevor Daniel, place kickers, running as well. And now J.K. Scott.
On TV.
No, yeah. Place kickers running.
40-yard
dash. The 40-yard
dash,
because that matters.
40-yard dash for kickers. What is wrong?
And the kickers, you notice, we ain't playing that whole compression short thing. We're just going to put on some shorts.
How about just regular shorts?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Renter's Warehouse. You want to talk about people who are doing great things for you. That's Renter's Warehouse. That's Rich Drake. He's on his way to work right now, as a matter of fact. He should be there. It's lazy if he's not there yet. All I know is that Rich Drake will make sure that you get your home. He gets you as much money as possible every month for your home. Now, you say, wait a minute, I want to rent. How is he going to? He's going to get, okay, he is going to get a great deal for you as a renter, and he's going to get a great deal for you as someone who's renting their home. Okay? It's great for everybody. You want to rent. You want to be in a house you don't want to buy. Okay. You go to renterswarehouse.com and find the right house for you, the right area for you. And if you're somebody that's thinking about, you know what, I want to sell my house. I just can't live here anymore for whatever reason. I can't take the commute anymore. Oh, we're moving. We got to move to another city. Keep this rental property going. Let the great people who do a great job, an unbelievable job at Renter's Warehouse, rent that out for you and take care of it. And you'll see, and they'll do camera work. They'll do all of the, they'll take pictures and videos of your entire house before you go. And then after the people move out, they'll take videos again and make sure that everything is as it was. You get to pick the people that are going to be renting from your home, so you can feel more comfortable about that. All you got to do is go to renterswarehouse.com or call 713-224-RENT. 713-224-RENT. Renterswarehouse.com. It is the place, the only place to go to rent your home.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Childish Altuve asked, do you think that Lance remembered to put his shoes on this morning? And Lance sent the picture of one of his shoes.
We can only wear one shoe, right?
Yeah. He didn't remember to put his shoes on. He put his shoe on, though, because he's wearing a boot on the other shoe. So 713-780-3776. One thing we haven't talked about this week that and you guys may have talked about, Adele, I don't know, but pass interference. 15 yards or spot a foul?
Keep it the way it is.
You like it the way it is?
You kind of have to, because I think players will just be smart enough to take advantage of the rule.
Especially late in a game. Where you just throw it up and with.
I mean, you know, there's so many plays where you know, oh, I just got beat. Oh, I'm screwed. Well, they'll just grab him. What big deal? 15 yards.
How about a 15 yarder with a 10 second add on as opposed to a 10 second runoff?
I can't see that something like that passing. How would I feel about that? I could see that that makes some sense to kind of balance it out. But I, again, how about. Why are we discussing a change? Is this such a problem?
Isn't it, at times, do you feel it's too penal?
No, not really.
I think there are some uncatchable balls that, I mean, I think we assume, just like you can't assume the double play in baseball, that we assume the catch will be made. Just because the guy interfered, we assume that he would have made the catch, and we give him the ball there.
I think we saw maybe we're just, oh, why did they call it? Or let him play, or that wasn't PI. We're a little bit miffed at that.
Yeah.
Well, just... Well, then it's on the officials. I know it's we always blame them, but just get it right more instead of changing the rule.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I don't know why you said that. That's ridiculous.
And we know how it affects the team that plays here, that if the Texans had the second most yards in the NFL gained via pass interference last season as an offense. Mainly that was due to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
But a full season of Will Fuller, and you can see that potentially happening even more. Because he's a guy that I would assume any guy that has speed like that is a potential to draw those penalties much further down the field. I mean, a lot of Hopkins were on, you know, 10-yard outs and 15-yard sideline routes.
Well, that, see, I mean, I don't know. Well, if you hold down the field, it's still only a 5-yard penalty.
And sometimes, a lot of times, we're looking at the play and go, oh, P.I., P.I., and you, defensive holding.
Defensive, 15, yeah. You know. And gets the 5-yard penalty. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it. I think that at sometimes, especially when a guy just throws the ball up and it's short, if he gets there are too many times where a quarterback benefits and the offensive team benefits from a quarterback throwing a crappy ball.
Yep.
I think that happens way too often. If it's a nice ball and the guy just clearly interferes. And I can see you give it to him, spot a foul. But if you throw one up and it's like 10 yards behind and the receiver's got to stop and the defensive player runs into him, why are you benefiting all that yardage from
it? But this rule change benefits the defense, right?
Right. I think that now maybe we're switching that there have been so much benefit. It's been so beneficial to the offense that maybe we're turning a little bit.
I just don't think that we are. Because it's not, I don't think we're watching. I mean, scoring's not outrageous. We're not watching games that are unwatchable because the scoring's out and out of control. Isn't it far from it? There are a lot of teams that can't score still. I don't think we're heading backwards in that direction.
Yeah, I think games are decided though. And like you said before, do it better. But why do we think that they're going to do it better this year?
They're not.
They're not. So. Games are being decided by bad calls that pick up 30, 40, 50 yards, and I think it has a huge impact on the game.
Well, it sure seems like it had a huge impact in the Saints-Vikings game in the mind of Marcus Williams in what he didn't want to do. I'm making the assumption based on watching the play.
He didn't want to interfere.
He just didn't want to interfere. That gives him the ball right there, which puts him in range to put points on the board at the end of the game on the very last play. So he went the other route. Let's put points on the board on this play by missing him completely.
Right. Yeah, well, that was just about as big a screw-up as we've ever seen.
All
you
had to do is run into them, and they have a better chance to win.
Right. No. No question about that. I'm kind of torn on it. Dell, where are you on it? Dell, have you ever listened to a radio show? Are you listening to a radio show?
No, I was listening to promos.
You're listening to promos?
Yeah, and some sound for later.
Oh. Where are you on this?
On the 15-yard penalty thing?
Yeah.
I had a discussion with Raheel, and that's kind of why I tuned out, because I talked about this already. But I don't think it'll be as dramatic as some people think. I don't think it'll change the game as much. I don't think cornerbacks will be as aware to go out, reach out and grab, because I look at it on the college level, and maybe NFL cornerbacks are just smarter, but college cornerbacks, when they're getting beat, I don't see as much reaching and grabbing. It happens occasionally, but are guys just tackling guys every other play because they're about to get beat? I don't see that. James Washington is always running by guys from Oklahoma State. I don't see a lot of guys just jumping him to keep a touchdown from happening. I don't know if guys will be aware in the moment. It's easy to say when the game's not being played.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be in critical situations that it comes into play, that you will grab, you will hold, when you know you can't be beaten by a 15-yard penalty, which is why maybe you do in the last 2 minutes, you do a 10-second add-on. Because if it happens as time expires and you grab them and you only get 15 yards, well, you get 10 seconds more, so you get another play. And do it again, and we get another play.
In addition to the idea that, you know, you can't end the game on a defensive penalty.
Right.
Again, you're not necessarily saying it's the last play of the game.
Correct, but you get 10 more seconds anyway.
It's just, that's radical.
Adding 10 seconds. Well, the 10-second runoff wasn't all that radical.
It seems like it.
Well, but it wasn't. I mean, we live with it.
And
you know,
we would live with this.
It used to be an offensive holding call was 15 yards. It was too penal. I think pass interference, spot a foul is,
well, then why
is
are we
penal.
Automatically going with 15 yards? Why not 20? Why not 25?
Well, maybe the longer the penalty.
Yeah, maybe we create a formula to determine the yards and have the officials knock that out.
Oh, yeah, that'll be wonderful. That'll be so wonderful, them trying to figure.
I'm hoping for judgment calls by officials in terms of math. Hey, can we give them 8 seconds here as opposed to 10?
Well, think about all this stuff we're talking about, officials. At the end of games or at the end of the half on a drive when some of the coaches are throwing the red flag for challenging a spot, why doesn't anybody care when the officials just completely botch a spot at some other random point in the game? I mean, they're missing the spot by a full yard, and teams are just, well, whatever.
Yeah.
When it's in the first half on the third drive of the game.
Well, there's nothing you can do about that,
but
though.
But they're so bad at it sometimes. So bad at it.
I know.
Everybody can see how far off that spot.
But what are you gonna,
Since it's not going into fourth down, nobody cares.
Right. Unless you can't challenge everyone.
Same thing like a batter at the plate. If it's the third strike, he'll throw a fit and get kicked out of the game. If the umpire blows the call on strike one,
well, he gets pissed, but he's like, you know, right, you see guys, oh, come on, that's not a strike.
I got another
But you got to get back in there.
Yeah. No. Just get it right. It's not that hard.
Well,
that's
yes,
what you're there for.
Yes, apparently it is.
If you're not Angel Hernandez, you can get it right.
What you know about, you don't know nothing about getting it right. Angel Hernandez. Good Lord. The worst. The worst of any. And he sued the league. He sued the league because he doesn't get any postseason games. So they gave him a postseason.
Bad.
And you know what postseason game they gave? They gave him? What series they gave him? Astros.
Of course.
Jerks.
They don't want him ruining a series that matters to them.
Right. Well, guess what happened? It matters to the Astros matter to him now. Ain't like
No, they don't.
The league hates the Astros. They got rid of the Yankees, they got rid of the Red Sox, and then they beat the Dodgers.
Yeah.
How about their teams.
How about that? Suck on that, league.
Hmm.
Speaking of crappy teams, let's go up north to Dallas and talk to John Clay Wolf. What's going on, John Clay Wolf?
It's true, man. I wouldn't be laughing if it wasn't true.
It is true. You know, hey, you know what else is true? I just retweeted your Beyonce car.
It's true. That's true too. Isn't that neat? That was really cool. I was excited about that.
John Clay Wolf bought Beyonce's Rolls Royce, and now here he is. He'll buy your Rolls Royce or your I don't know, your Hyundai
Corolla.
Or whatever it is.
Your Corolla. Aunt Edna's wagon.
It doesn't matter. right? It doesn't matter what the car is or how much. Get the most that you could possibly get for it.
We bought 1,200 cars in February.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's busy.
That's huge.
I was excited. It takes a lot to impress me. I've been doing this stuff a while. That impressed me. Team impressed me. The whole thing was exciting.
1,200. And you know what that means is that John Clay Wolf is given the best price. And, oh, by the way, if he can't beat CarMax's offer, he's going to send you $100. So why wouldn't you find out what your car's worth?
Hey, y'all know that we're really doing it right when CarMax has their lawyers in Georgia send you a cease and desist, right?
Oh, totally sweet. So, in other words, you're going to get sued just because I said that. That's sweet.
No, I mean, they just want me to quit. You know, making the offer to beat them. And I'm like, I can't stop. I just can't stop it. It's just too fun beating y'all. I'm having too much fun doing it.
That is awesomeness. And if you want to get the best offer you possibly can for your vehicle, GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf, you'll hear him tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5. He'll do his 1,003rd show, I believe it is, right
hey,
here.
Real quick, what's up with the, unless you got to hit a marker and get out. What have the Rockets done? I haven't paid any attention. I know they're kicking ass this year.
They're really, really, really good. They're going to be NBA champs as opposed to the Dallas Mavericks, who suck. Okay? Just so you know that. John Clay Wolf up in Dallas, but don't hold that against him. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Lance isn't here. He's on NFL.com. You can see him there. You can watch him. I can't tell. Did he have his glasses on? I'm not sure.
Well, he definitely does now because the O-linemen are running.
He's got a... Well, they're bigger to see, so I don't know if you need your glasses for the bigger
but
guys.
But he needs to see all the little things.
I don't know. Here's the greatest thing, though. Offensive linemen and punters running 40-yard dashes. There's a reason that they're first. Because no one really cares. Why do we have...
Very important to their respective crafts.
And it's not at all. It really isn't. I don't care about a punter run what his 40 is.
Look, on the occasion that a kick doesn't go into the end zone... And then the kick returner actually evades the other 10 guys. We got to know if the kicker can chase him down.
The kicker's standing there flat-footed waiting for him.
Yeah.
So we don't...
Where does the kicker ever get a head start?
Never.
Never.
It matters. Can you kick? That's all we want to know.
Why don't they just have him line up at the 35 and see if they can kick it in the end zone?
Quite frankly, if you can speak English, you shouldn't be a kicker. That's all.
What?
That's all I'm saying.
Why, you look, Garrow, you want to go back to those days
yes.
where they're taking guys from Eastern Europe to
yes.
kick?
Yes. I want to go back to those days. Look at that. Okay, why do I care about that huge
Why is Mason
dude?
Cole wearing compression shorts?
Why is he wearing
And compression gear, why?
I don't know that. Why is he wearing number 7?
Well, he's the 7th in the order, that's
okay.
all.
I don't know. So apparently, are you going to Russia for the World Cup?
No.
You're not going?
Nope.
If I was going, what would I be looking forward to? Adam, you could get into the stadium if you bring marijuana, cocaine, or heroin. So, and heroin. Actually, you can bring all three. Yeah, I'm not going to limit you to just marijuana and coke or coke and heroin. You can bring all three to the stadiums. Apparently.
Flares? Am I good with flares? Smoke bombs?
Yeah, you can do that too. I mean, it's Russia.
Racial insults? All good in Russia.
Yeah.
All good in Russia.
Yeah, that's all fine. Apparently, a bureaucratic loophole will allow soccer fans attending FIFA in Russia this summer to bring cannabis, cocaine, and even heroin into events as long as attendees have the proper medical paperwork.
What's the medical paperwork for bringing heroin?
If you do heroin, they give you heroin so that you can get off of heroin.
But is it actual heroin or is it an offshoot of
heroin? In between, you want to go check out a soccer game, okay? While you're trying to get off of heroin, wean yourself from heroin, You may need to bring it with you.
So if I'm looking to bring heroin in to watch Nigeria in their first group stage match,
yes.
I need to get on heroin now, then get a prescription to get off of heroin,
yes.
And then I can take it in to watch Nigeria play in Russia?
It's a great time to start doing heroin, Del, because then you can bring it into the stadium.
Just the way some of the stuff is written in some of these articles about this is classic. Because you're talking about the rules permit narcotics into the stadium as long as you have a prescription.
Right.
So I'm just reading one sentence about it. If fans are able to get their drugs into Russia, then they can go to the games with their drugs. Like, if you can get them in to our country, and it's all good, come on into our stadium too.
You know what's awesome? For an American to be caught with heroin in Russia.
That's a great idea.
That should go well.
That always goes well.
So, but for the Americans that were concerned about, well, the timing of some of these World Cup games coincides with my rehabilitation from heavy, heavy drug use. So I was planning on skipping the World Cup, my favorite event of all time. Now your plans to go back.
Now wait a minute. I can get my heroin into the game? I'm going. Okay, so there's that. So just in case you guys wanted to do some heroin at any of the soccer games, you're more than...
It's just a rather alarming headline, I guess.
Yeah.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Uh-uh. Let me ask you guys a question. First of all, this is a disturbing story with Jonathan Martin. His high school has reportedly filed a restraining order against him. He put out the Instagram where he had the shotguns and his name of his school, Harvard Westlake. They actually, that day, they shut the school down. And everybody out, beat it. We're not going to be around here just in case Jonathan Martin stops by. So he's not, Jonathan Martin apparently has gone to seek psychiatric help, which is a good thing. And now apparently he's no longer welcome at his high school, which I can kind of understand. You know, just days after Parkland, we've got Jonathan Martin with shotguns and talking about his high schools. That's probably a bad thing. And then there's Greg Hardy. Apparently Greg Hardy wants to make a comeback. Would you rather have Jonathan Martin or Greg Hardy come to your house?
Can I speak on it as a Dolphin fan who drafted him?
Yeah.
Jonathan Martin couldn't play, and he threatened to, you know, shoot. At least he alluded to maybe shooting at a school.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Hardy is a certified piece of crap, but he could play.
Yeah, was he all that good when he went to the Cowboys?
He has a record of being good. I don't know with years out of the league,
right?
If he will be.
Well,
any
I didn't say play for your football team. I said come to your house and come over for dinner.
Well, Greg Hardy has a problem with, beating up women.
Women with guns, throwing them on beds with guns.
Does he have a problem with beating up?
Threatening to kill them.
30-year-old producer/co-host?
If you try to take one of his guns, maybe.
Well, I'm not going to try to take one of his guns. I know the deal. I think I'm going
to
stick with...
What if he brings his gun to the dinner table and you're like, hey, we don't bring guns to the dinner
table. I don't imagine
table.
If I'm inviting Greg Hardy, I'm telling him anything that he shouldn't do.
So you offer him the invite and he says back, well, what should I bring? You would discourage weaponry.
I'd say maybe a casserole, not your AR-15.
That would be great if you didn't bring any of your weapons.
Yes. I think I'm taking Hardy.
Well, sometimes people say that, though. Don't bring anything, and people still bring a bottle of wine. Greg Hardy might still bring one of his shotguns.
Gonna ask him not to.
Okay, I know.
Well, normally when you go to somebody's house, you have a party. If they don't have a closet right there for your coat, we'll just throw it on the bed. Which Greg Hardy does. On the bed.
He just throws his gun on the bed and then throws you on top of it. I don't know. I think I'd rather have Jonathan Martin at my house.
Neither. I mean, from John, what would possibly possess any NFL owner from even considering Greg Hardy at this point?
I know.
I thought I might have said that before he got signed the last time, but I feel much more comfortable saying, okay, his days in the NFL are over, right?
Right? No, as long as Jerry Jones is still around. Okay. What's the downside of signing a Hardy? Really? You know, other than all the domestic violence.
Yeah.
And the a-hole in the locker room.
And he hasn't played football in quite a bit.
Well, isn't he a, was he a Rough Rider or something?
He went up to Canada?
I don't know. I'm looking at a jersey of him.
Yes, Rough Rider, but not from the...
Not from the CFL.
Not CFL.
No, he's in the
DMX American era. Arena League.
Oh, he's in the Arena
not
League.
Not to be confused with the Arena Football League.
Well, how did he play in the Arena League?
I don't think they've played yet. I think he just came aboard.
Oh, he did? But he's a different person now. You know what he said? That's not me. That's not me.
Hmm. Rehabilitated.
Who do you think is more likely to change, Greg Hardy or Johnny Manziel? Now, they've done different things, but who do you believe more is different, Greg or Johnny?
I'd much rather have Johnny at my house.
Well, I know you like
the party. He's rolling up bills.
He would be good in Russia, by the way.
Oh, he's
allowed to bring coke into the stadium. He'd be
as
fine.
As long as he can get it in.
Yeah.
Criminal activity versus Johnny's missteps, pretty big difference.
Yeah. Who is more likely to change, though?
Yeah, who do you believe more when they tell you
that's a tough call.
I'm a different guy?
That's a tough call. I'm sure if Greg... You know, finds the right girl to throw on a bed.
Oh, no. There's no right woman to throw on a bed.
Well, I'm sure Greg will try to find that girl.
No, he's changed.
Oh, no.
That's what he said.
Ah, I know. So is Johnny.
So is Johnny. So who are you taking?
No question, Johnny.
That Johnny's the most likely to change?
Yes.
Really?
Well, change from what? What was he doing that was so bad?
I don't know. No. He'll do what he wasn't
an NFL player. He's not going to stop partying, do you think?
No, Johnny said he's done partying.
Yeah.
He's not that guy. He used it to cover up his depression because he was bipolar.
Oh, that's right. He's bipolar. I forgot about that.
So who do you think?
Well, if you have a medical... He's got a medical condition. Greg Hardy just was in domestic violence.
He was just an awful
enthusiast.
Person. Yeah.
Right. Johnny's got a condition.
So Johnny's condition... might prohibit him from changing, right?
That's right. Unless he takes his pills every day, which...
And by pills, you mean...
or whatever.
Just let Johnny be.
What?
Well, Johnny doesn't want to let us be.
Why do you care about Johnny? You're a horn.
Well, I just think... I know we're having fun with the how could they change, because goodness gracious, it's unreal. How could Johnny even get lumped into a conversation like this?
Well, just because we're just talking change. About,
now, I'm not saying they're the same
right.
guy.
Not the
I
same
get it,
guy.
But they're both telling us although, they're different people now.
Although Johnny had his issue in the car.
Oh yeah, he did.
He did.
He did.
You remember?
He had some anger issues.
Yes,
you're right.
8:45 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. Raheel is sitting here, not doing anything. Of course, it's not time to work. Of course, it's never. Are you writing your piece? It's not yet. You can't talk yet. Okay, he can't talk yet. It's only 8:45.
Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, this is Adam Wexler's last segment here on ESPN 97.5. Not ever.
As long as you're taken care of, I don't want to leave you here with just Dell.
Well... Raheel will be here.
Wonderful news.
He won't work. He won't turn on his microphones before he absolutely has to.
He's smart.
That's how Raheel rolls. Okay. He won't write. He loves to write though for Sports Map. And what's your article? What was your article this week? It's only 8:51. I ain't talking. Oh, you see this, Adam?
Yeah, I saw this the other day. I'm ready. I was ready.
You know all about it. All right. Before we go, in the infield, and I don't know why I don't think Yuli was part of it. The top infielders in all of baseball. Bregman finished ninth. And this is a yard barker thing. Zach Cozart was 10th. Alex Bregman, 9th. Nolan Arenado was first. I would take Chris Bryant before Arenado, would you?
Nope. I would take Arenado.
You would take Arenado?
I'm a little concerned with the Colorado angle of
it. Well, that's the whole thing for me.
I do think he's a wizard in the field also.
I do believe that as well, but I'd still take Chris Bryant because I can't believe Colorado numbers.
Seems like such a great baseball player. He's going to hit you 300. He's going to pop for nearly 40 homers, got 120 RBIs, whatever it is. And it just, I feel a little bit like Bryant is still more of a basher than a total package, even though the Cubs use him like he can play anywhere on the field. But I think I'd still give a slight edge to Arenado.
That's a pretty good position. Jose Ramirez is third. Josh Donaldson, 4th. Justin Turner, 5th. I mean, these are all Anthony Rendon, Adrian Beltre, Evan Longoria, Alex Bregman, and Zach Cozart. I want to talk about a really strong position in Major League Baseball, third base. Always has been, obviously. It's a big power spot. But that's a lot of good players. It's tough to make an all-star team at third base in baseball right now. Used to be, remember, back in Bagwell days with McGuire and Big Cat.
I mean, Bagwell's all-star appearance tally is low.
Yeah. What was it, 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very hard to get there.
Yeah. And, I mean, that was a great time. This is a great time for third baseman as well. So it's going to take Bregman a while. But for him to pop into the top 10 after just a season, basically, that's not too bad.
Yeah, he's going into full season number 2.
Right. Right.
Which is pretty nice.
Yeah, really nice. So there's that. Altuve was the best second baseman. Correa was the best shortstop. Bregman, the 9th best third baseman. But I don't think Gurriel, which I think is wrong. Maybe it's because of the whole Chinito thing. I don't know. But maybe you can't
vote for him. He disqualified himself from the voting process.
I don't know. All I know is that he didn't make the top 10, which I think is stupid. That dude can play. That dude can just hit. You got Verlander made the top 10 in pitchers. Would you take Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw right now?
Probably take Kershaw, but it's close.
I would take Scherzer. I love Scherzer. I think he's unbelievable. Kluber, Sale, Arrieta, Strasburg, Verlander was 7th.
See, Arrieta feels like he should have fallen out.
Yeah. Agreed. Arrieta, I don't know. Arrieta coming out of nowhere.
Really. He also was going to have a tough time getting back in the top 10 if he's not playing.
That's a problem. That really is.
Top 10 pitcher in baseball. Can't get work?
Can't. Well.
Or won't accept work for paltry wages.
Yeah. When you're only offered 140 or 50 million or 200 million, how are you going to possibly play for that? I can't believe that you would lower yourself to playing like that. For that amount of money. That is kind of wild.
Are they waiting for somebody's ace or close to it to get hurt?
Well, let me ask you a question.
And then he'll sign?
Well, let me ask you a question. I think it's going to be hard for Keuchel to get what he wants next year.
This is a pretty good indicator of what might be on the horizon.
The
for sure.
Injuries, for one, whether or not you're going to get the Cy guy or the 2016 version.
Well, we also don't. Well, you're going to look at 3 years. 15 or 16, 17, and this year.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if you're going to get this year, but when he hits free agency, they'll have that answer.
Yeah, I mean,
what if two of the last... he pitched very well last year.
Well, he really did.
Extremely well at the beginning of the year, and then again, good at the very end of the year.
But with his slight... Now, he's 6'1", 6'1 and a half in that neighborhood, but he got stronger this offseason, whether or not that hurts his shoulder or whatnot. I don't know if I'm a general manager. I don't know what to pay him. I think the Gerrit Cole acquisition was telling everybody that the Astros ain't paying top dollar for Dallas Keuchel.
Because they're going to give it to him?
No, because he's got you got him under control for 2 more years.
This year and next.
Yeah. And then Whitley comes up. And then, who knows?
But Verlander's money also comes off at the same time Cole comes up.
You've got that extra year of $22 million that he could possibly hit if he's in the top 5 of Cy. So you've got possibly 3 more years. Well, I'll pay him 22 at 37.
Yep.
I'll pay him 22. 22 is a bargain.
If he's still doing this.
Well, you're actually only paying him 20 now.
He was also a little bit like Randy Johnson when he came to the Astros. Johnson's time with the Mariners that year wasn't eye-popping. It wasn't great. It was okay. Yeah. And then he was unbelievable with Houston. Verlander was okay before the All-Star break. Started to get really good with the Tigers post-All-Star break and was unhittable with Houston. But he's also at this stage of his career, it's no given that it happens, but all indications are it will.
Well, right. And look at what Randy Johnson did when he left here.
He was pretty good still.
Yeah, he was still pretty good. I think Verlander's going to be fine. I think that was a great investment.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Especially since you don't have to pay him the whole contract. Again, I think it doesn't bode well at all. What happened with Arrieta this offseason doesn't bode well at all for Keuchel.
Maybe you see somewhat of an overall market correct. Even the money that J.D. Martinez, he's the best hitter on the market. There was no doubt about it. And he didn't get some, oh my God, you gave him $200 million. He didn't get anywhere close to that.
Yeah.
And there's outs in it early.
Yeah, and Hostler.
I don't know. I can't believe it was the Padres that gave that money.
I know.
But
he couldn't find what he wanted, right? Right.
Yep.
All right, you're done. Beat it, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
Is that what we're supposed to say to a guest when he's leaving?
Well, it's up to you, but it's part of the show.
Yeah, that's just part of the show. We always tell Lance, beat it. So,
but he comes back.
Yeah, but beat it doesn't mean go forever. It means beat it now.
Get out.
I'm gone. That's it for me.
That's it for you.
I can take a hint.
Adam Wexler, we appreciate it. Watch him on Channel 2. He'll be there today. He's going to be at the Rockets today, and he's going to ask the tough questions to James Harden.
He'll laugh it off.
He's going to go, whatever. 858 ESPN 97.5. We'll be joined by Sports Map 94.1. Next, Raheel gets in. Don't you go anywhere.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.